again, good morning, and thanks for joining us again today. So are you ready to talk about prophecy again? Yeah, I hope so, because last week, right, as part of our Rethinking Church series, as Manji mentioned, we talked about the gift of prophecy, the subject of prophecy, and last week we saw that prophecy, or as I prefer to call it, prophetic ministry, that this is God's heart for His church. And that's what this series is all about, right? It says we're exploring God's heart for the church. And the reason why we're exploring God's heart is because we want to do church according to God's way and not our own way. And that's why it says in Japanese, what does it say here? Kami no kokoro de, kami no kyokai e. Well, so today, before we start actually getting into the new stuff, new material for this morning, I want to quickly review some of the things we talked about last week. So if you were here last week, I hope some of this sounds familiar, but let me start by giving you just a simple definition of biblical prophecy. And this definition is important because a lot of people think that prophecy is the ability to predict the future, right? That's what you see in different movies. Usually you got some guy who can predict the future, and either he's blind or he's got a really long, funny beard or something like that in the movies, right? But that's not what biblical prophecy is. So here's my definition of biblical prophecy. Right? Prophecy is when God speaks to an individual, and then that person communicates to others the word they've heard from God. Right? Prophecy is when God speaks to an individual, and then that person communicates to others the word they've heard from God. And that's pretty easy to understand, isn't it? I mean, just really simply, when we hear from God, and then we speak the things that we hear, that's prophecy. Now, last week we saw that in the Old Testament era, only certain people could prophesy. Mostly it was the prophets. There were a few others as well, but mostly it was the prophets. But we saw last week that after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and after the Holy Spirit was given to the church in Acts chapter 2, right, suddenly all of that changed. Right? And now in the New Testament era, all Christians can prophesy. And this is one of the first things we learned about prophetic ministry last week. We learned that prophetic ministry is for all Christians. Right? All Christians have the Holy Spirit living in them, and all Christians have the ability to hear God's voice. And for that reason, it's possible for all Christians to be active in prophetic ministry. Right? We can all hear from God and then share with others the things that we have heard. And friends, as we saw last week, prophetic ministry, this is God's design for the church, right? This is God's heart. This is God's plan. It was God's idea. It's not like man's trying to, you know, make this up. This was God's idea for the church. And last week, we looked at a whole bunch of scriptures, and we saw that God had given the gift of ministry, right? Or He's given this prophetic ministry, I'm sorry, the gift of prophecy, the prophetic ministry to the church. And what's the purpose of this gift? We saw last week, prophetic ministry builds up and strengthens the church. And that's why God's given us this gift, is so that we as a church, that we can be strong, so that we can be built up. And friends, if you look at that, well, prophetic ministry looks like a pretty good thing, doesn't it? Well, it is. I mean, it's God's gift to us. Well, last week we also saw that when God gives the gift of prophecy to us, or when He uses the gift of prophecy to speak through us to His people, there are different kinds of prophetic words that God wants to communicate. Whoops, where did that verse come from? Oh, yeah. Let's go back. Where are we? Friends, here we see prophetic ministry, right? And we see it is a good thing, right? And because it's such a good thing, Paul actually tells us to actually seek the gift of prophecy. We looked at this verse last week. Look what Paul says. Paul says, eagerly follow the way of love, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Friends, all spiritual gifts are good. The gifts that God gives to us so that we can use them to build up the church, they're all good. And yet Paul knows there's something unique about the gift of prophecy that makes it especially desirable in the church. So Paul says, seek gifts, but of all the gifts, I really want you to seek the gifts of prophecy. And friends, this is something that we can all do, and I hope that many of you prayed the prayer I encouraged you to pray last week. Remember, our prayer this week was, Lord, give me the gift of prophecy. Right? We are to eagerly seek that, ask God for that. Okay, well, last week, as we saw that when God uses the gift of prophecy to speak through us to His people. There are different types of prophetic words that that we see in Scripture, different types of prophetic words that God wants to communicate. Let me just quickly remind you of these. All right, first of all, God, He sometimes speaks words of direction and wisdom. And that's important for us right now because we need direction and wisdom from God, right? Right now. Right? He speaks words of promise and blessing. Right? God also speaks words of encouragement and comfort. Right? God speaks words of teaching and instruction. God also wants to speak sometimes words of warning and rebuke and correction. And finally, God speaks words of His future plan for us. Right? So these are the kind of prophetic words that we see throughout Scripture, both Old Testament and New Testament. And friends, I think this is still the way God wants to speak to His church today. Right? Through the gifts of prophecy and through prophetic ministry, these are the things that God wants to communicate. He wants to give us direction and wisdom, and He wants to give us promise and blessing. All of these things, even today. And I believe God still does speak in all six of these ways, and He uses all six of these to build up the church. But last week, as we were looking at the New Testament, we noticed that there's a couple of these that get mentioned more than others. In the New Testament church, it seems that the most common use of prophetic ministry is these two. Right? When God speaks to people in the church today, it seems like the most common thing that He seems to be saying, seems to be doing, is He's using us to communicate words of encouragement, comfort, teaching, and instruction. And friends, that's prophetic ministry. And because this is God's heart for the church, friends, I believe prophetic ministry should be a very common, very natural thing in our life together as a church family. Okay, so that was all review from last week. And last week, it was kind of a theoretical part. We were trying to lay a biblical foundation for prophecy. And now today, we're going to try to get a little bit more practical. It's still kind of general, but more practical than last week. And now we want to begin to build upon that foundation. And specifically today, I want to look at two things. Right? First of all, what does prophetic ministry in the church look like today? All right? And then second, as a church family, how can we grow? How can we grow in prophetic ministry? So I hope these will be helpful for you this morning. So let's start with prophetic ministry in the church. Friends, as when we gather together as a church family like we're doing right now, I think there are three occasions when we can see prophetic ministry at work in the life of the church. I think there are three activities that allow us to experience and encounter and participate in prophetic ministry. So let me share with you, I think, these three occasions, these three opportunities we have. And the first occasion is this. The first occasion is when we teach. Right? You guys probably have your Bibles with you, right? But, you know, this is kind of a big book, isn't it? I mean, there's lots and lots of stuff written in this book. And anytime we have the opportunity to teach, whether it's a message like I'm doing now, or maybe it's, sharing a testimony with a friend, or teaching Sunday school, or maybe teaching a Bible study, or just giving a short devotional message sometimes. I mean, there are literally hundreds of topics, thousands of verses that we can find in this book to speak on, right? And there's a lot of really good stuff in here. And any time we teach from this book, it's good. It's all good. The whole book is good. However, when God leads us, when God guides us to a certain topic, to a certain passage that He wants us to share with the group of people we have the opportunity to teach, friends, then that teaching becomes prophetic. You see, it's prophetic because, remember, prophecy is just when we hear from God and then we communicate the things that we've heard. And if God lays a certain passage, a certain story, a certain topic on our heart to share with a group of people, that's because that's what God wants to say to those people, and He's choosing to say it through us. You see, anytime God speaks to us, gives us an idea of what to teach when we have opportunity to teach Bible, friends, we're doing prophetic ministry. Now that doesn't mean that every word that comes from our mouth, you know, is directly from God, right? But the topic, the subject, it originated in God's heart and not our home, in our own. So on that day, that's what God wanted to say to those people. And He chooses to say it through us. And friends, in that way, gosh, prophetic ministry is, well, it should be quite common, quite natural in the church, right? You know, we don't have to say, this is the word of the Lord. We just teach. And as we teach the things that God has laid on our hearts, right, then, well, it's prophetic because it's coming from God's heart. And so I hope that my teaching is sometimes prophetic, right? I know there are times when I have no idea what to teach on. And I'm just kind of like, you know, eeny, meeny, miny, moe. I'm just looking for something. But I know there are other times when just it's pretty clear to me that God lays something on my heart to share with you. And as I am hopefully faithful in just hearing from God and trying to communicate some of those things, I hope that in that way, the things that I'm saying are going to be helpful to us and encourage us and build us up because, well, that's the whole purpose of prophetic ministry. So I think any time we have the opportunity to teach, and we all have opportunities to teach, right? And just in different settings, in different ways. Friends, that is an opportunity to be prophetic. Right? As we hear from God and we teach the things we hear, right? That's prophetic ministry. Okay, well, there's another occasion, I think, for prophetic ministry in the church. And that is when we worship together, right? Which is what we're doing right now, right? We've gathered together as a church family. Friends, and when we come together like this, and when we worship Jesus, when we seek Jesus, when we draw near to Jesus, we should expect Jesus to respond, right? As we focus to Him, and we focus on Him, and look to Him, and listen to Him, and pray to Him, and talk to Him, right? Then there will be times when He will want to speak back to us. Sometimes He speaks to us as individuals. Sometimes He wants to speak to the whole church. Right? And how does He do that? How does Jesus speak to the whole church? Well, through the gift of prophecy. He might lay something on one person's heart. And then that person communicates with the rest of us the things that are on God's heart. And friends, we see an example of this in 1 Corinthians 14, right? We see an example there. Paul tells us what the Corinthians worship service was like. And it says they all come together. And it sounds like many people were just in the midst of their worship service. They were standing up and sharing the things that God was speaking to them. Right? And in that way, right, prophetic ministry was at work and the whole church was encouraged and built up. But does that kind of make sense? Friends, that's prophetic ministry. And I hope that maybe this is an area that we will grow in here at SIBC. And as we take time to worship together and pray together, I hope that we will be eager to share those things that the Lord might lay on our heart. Now, if He speaks to us about ourselves, a personal thing, we don't have to share that. But if He speaks to us about something that's, you know, for the whole family, then I hope that we will be willing to do that. You know, last week at Noji's house, after we took time to pray and worship, at the very end there, I asked, does anyone sense that the Lord was speaking to you today? Right? And a few people just kind of shared, and that's that. Right? And that's pretty natural, isn't it? It's not something kind of scary where someone has to get up and say, I am a prophet of the Lord, and I say this to you. It's just, God lays things on your heart. You just share those with others. And as a result, we're all built up, and we're all encouraged. So friends, I think when we worship together, I think it's a very natural occasion for prophetic ministry to happen. As we're talking to Jesus, yeah, He's going to want to talk back sometime. Okay, a third occasion for prophetic ministry in the church is when we pray for one another. Right, when we pray for one another. Now, right now at SIBC, we don't actually take time to pray for people during our worship service. But as we look ahead to the future, I hope that that's something that we will do every week, just opportunity just to pray for those who need prayer. But friends, have you ever been praying with someone, praying for someone, and then just suddenly you kind of get an idea of what to pray for? You know, you're just praying, and then just suddenly you think, oh, I should pray this, or I should pray this. Friends, sometimes that's the Lord. That's God wanting to say something to the person you're praying for, so God speaks it to you, and then as you share it to them, the thing you say just becomes prophetic. And you don't say, God is telling me to tell you this. It's just, as we pray for people, we share the things that the Lord speaks to us. And in that way, people are built up and people are encouraged. And friends, that's probably something that's happened to most of us as we've been praying for people. Right? And we've never even maybe thought to call it prophetic ministry, and that's okay if we don't call it that, but that's exactly what we were doing, right? We were hearing from the Lord. And as we speak that into another person's life, it has the benefit of blessing them and encouraging them and building them up. Right? God is speaking to them through us. And again, in this way, prophetic ministry, I think that's a very common, very natural part of our life together when we pray for one another. So, I think these are three occasions when we have the opportunity to participate in prophetic ministry, right? When we teach Scripture, right? When we worship together, when we pray for one another. And friends, if you look at all three of those things, that's just really simple, isn't it? That's just very natural. And I think some people, they have the impression that prophecy is this mysterious thing. Right? Special holy people say, special spooky things, and it's kind of this heavy something, but it really isn't. I think it's much more natural than maybe we even realize. Right? Prophecy is when God speaks through His people to His people. And if we are willing, we can all be used in this way. Prophetic ministry is for all Christians. It's God's gift to the church. And so here at SIBC, I hope that we will seek and we will pursue and that we will embrace prophetic ministry in the church, especially when we teach, when we worship together, and when we pray. Okay, well, there's a lot more I can say on that, but maybe in the future as we begin to grow in this, maybe we'll address this issue again. But let's talk about growing in prophetic ministry. Friends, as we desire to be a prophetic church, a prophetic people, right, where God's speaking to us and we're speaking through us to one another, friends, there are things that we can do to help us grow in this area. So I want to mention four things today, and I think if we begin to do these four things, I think it begins to lay a really good, solid foundation for prophetic ministry here at SIBC, all right? So four things here, and I think these will be helpful for you. The first one, ask the Lord to speak to you. Now, after I prepared your yellow outline, I realized that I don't like how this sentence is worded. It's actually, yeah, you see, because it kind of sounds like maybe God doesn't want to speak to us. And so we have to go and ask Him, oh God, please, 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 please speak to me. It's like we have to beg God to speak. But friends, I don't think that's true, because I think Jesus is already speaking to us, right? He wants to speak to us. He wants to talk to us. There's things He wants to communicate. Even this morning, I believe He is speaking to us. So I don't think we need to ask the Lord to speak to us. So I'm sorry, but just if you want to cross that out on your yellow outline, cross it out. Here's what I would have put if I would have thought of this earlier. Number one is this: get in the habit of listening to Jesus. See, the problem is not that He's speaking. The problem sometimes is that we're not listening, right? Jesus is speaking. And so now it's our responsibility to be active listeners. And by active listeners, I mean that we consciously take time to listen. We consciously make that effort to turn our ears toward Jesus. Right? We need to get into the habit of saying, Lord, I'm listening to You. Is there something You want to say? Help me to hear from You. So as we teach, as we worship together, as we pray for others, we want to get in the habit of actually listening to the voice of Jesus. Now that sounds really simple, doesn't it? But in fact, it's kind of hard to do. Listening isn't hard. Remembering to listen is hard. Right? It's so easy just to forget to listen. I mean, it's easy for us to come to a worship service like this, and for 90 minutes we sing and we listen to the message, but how often do we intentionally, actively say, Jesus, I want to listen to You? It's so easy just to get distracted and to not really be active listeners. And so friends, actively listening to the voice of Jesus, I think, is the first step to growing in prophetic ministry, right? If we're going to hear from God, we need to get into the habit of listening to Him. Does that make sense? Okay. So, we want to be active listeners, and then when we hear from Him, we want to communicate the things that we hear. And this leads us to number two. Number two is this. Don't be afraid to speak. Don't be afraid to speak the things that maybe you think the Lord is saying to you. If you think the Lord is wanting to speak to you through to another person or to the rest of the church family, don't be afraid. If the Lord gives you a word for someone else, don't be afraid to communicate that word. Now, unfortunately, most of us have fear issues, don't we? Do you ever get afraid? Right? Most of us are either afraid of the opinions of others, right? Right? We're afraid of what other people might think, right? And we'll talk about that in a minute. Or we're afraid of making mistakes. Right? Friends, let me say this very, very clearly. As we desire to grow in prophetic ministry, we will make mistakes. Don't think you have to be perfect because it doesn't work that way. We will make mistakes. And I think that's okay because I think that's how we learn. I mean, think about playing an instrument. Are you perfect the first time you play that instrument? No, you make mistakes. But it's okay. Or if you're learning to speak a language, you just suddenly speak the language perfectly? No, you make mistakes, but that's okay because making mistakes, it's part of the learning process. It's part of the growing process. That's how we learn. And I think it's the same when it comes to hearing God's voice and prophetic ministry. The only way to really grow is to actually do it. And especially at the beginning, we might make mistakes along the way. And that's too bad. We don't want to make mistakes, but friends, it's kind of to be expected. And I think it's okay. Because Paul says something in 1 Corinthians 13 that's really interesting. Paul seems to hint that we might not always get it right when we prophesy. Take a look here. 1 Corinthians 13, 9 and 10. Paul says, we know in part, and we what? Prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. Friends, Paul understands that sometimes prophecy is partial. We don't always have the whole picture. It's not always the complete picture. Add to that the fact that we're still trying to learn how to hear God's voice. Friends, it's going to be hard for us to prophesy perfectly all the time. And that should be a huge relief to some of us. I don't have to be perfectly right all the time. You see, God seems to know that we will be weak. We will be immature. He seems to know that we're going to make mistakes. But you know the amazing thing is? God still speaks to us. Even though He knows we're going to be imperfect in our ability to hear, He still speaks to us and He still wants us to communicate to others the things that we hear. So friends, don't be afraid to speak. And so if you're, preparing to teach, or you're in a worship service, you're praying for someone, and you think, oh, maybe, is that God? Is that maybe God saying something to me? Right? Don't be afraid to speak it out. But if you're kind of, want to make sure everyone knows that you're still kind of learning and growing, you could even just say that. I'm still learning to hear God's voice, and I'm not sure if this is really God or not, but maybe God is saying this. And you can just say it like that, and we all understand, okay, they're learning, they're growing. But friends, the important thing is, don't be afraid. Don't let your fear of making mistakes prevent you from speaking out. You see, that fear will cause us to remain silent. And if we're silent, we'll never grow in prophetic ministry. Because prophetic ministry is both hearing and it's also speaking. Hearing and speaking. So we can't be afraid to speak the things we hear. And friends, if we want to be used by God just to build up one another through this gift, this is really an area that we need to overcome this fear. Someone once told me to simply give, what did he say? Give expression to your impression. So anytime you have an impression, a thought that you think might be from God, just Be bold and speak it out. Right? That's the only way we're going to learn. We need to speak out without fear. Okay? Easy to say, hard to do, huh? Okay, but this leads us to number three. This number three is really important to help us do number two. Right? Number three is this. Create an environment of grace and love. Right, here at SIBC, we want to create an environment of grace and love. Right, the two most helpful chapters in the Bible on spiritual gifts are, what, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14. That's where we read the most about spiritual gifts. Okay, here's a trick question, see if you're all awake. What chapters in between chapter 12 and chapter 14? Chapter 13, good, no, she didn't. 1 Corinthians 13. And what's 1 Corinthians 13 all about? Love. Love. Sometimes we only read chapter 13 and we forget chapter 13 is a part of chapter 12 and 14. We have to read all three of those together. As we read all three of those together, 12, 13, and 14, we see that Paul is very clear that spiritual gifts are good, but they need to function in an atmosphere, in an environment of love. So as we desire to grow in prophetic ministry here at SIBC, this is the kind of environment we want to create. We want love and grace just to overflow in this place. Right? We want to have mutual respect. We want to have genuine care. We want to have complete trust, right, in one another. We want this to be a place where people feel safe. Right? Safe to make mistakes. We want this to be a place where people feel free. Free to learn. Free to grow. Free to be immature at the beginning. Knowing that they're not going to be criticized and not going to be judged. We want this to be a place where people's hearts can be at peace as they learn how to hear God's voice. You see, earlier I said that some people are afraid of the opinions of others. And that's true, isn't it? Do you sometimes worry about what other people think about you? Yeah, I do. Sometimes we're afraid of looking foolish, right? In the eyes of the people around us. Sometimes we're afraid that if we say the wrong thing, or we do the wrong thing, or we act in the wrong way, maybe they'll laugh at us. Maybe they'll judge us. Maybe they'll criticize us. Maybe they'll reject us. Now, of course, if they're Christians, they won't actually say those things. But they'll be thinking it, won't they? And that's the most scary thing of all. We don't know what people are thinking. And so we imagine they're thinking the worst. We imagine the worst. And that fear keeps us from saying anything at all, doesn't it? Friends, that fear will prevent us from exploring and growing in prophetic ministry. And so here at SIBC, we want to remove that fear. And the way to remove that fear is to create an environment of grace and love. Right? As a church family, we want to be committed to accepting one another and loving one another and serving one another and building up one another. And then we'll all have that freedom to learn how to hear God's voice and to grow in prophetic ministry without the fear of being judged or criticized. And even if we make mistakes, our hearts will be at peace because grace and love will abound in this place. Does that make sense? Create an environment of grace and love. Okay, one more thing I want to share, and it's going to be the longest of the 4 points here. But as we're learning to become prophetic people, it's important that we learn how to listen with discernment. To listen with discernment. Friends, unfortunately, all spiritual gifts can be misused and abused. Right? All of the gifts listed in the Bible, they can all be used by people to manipulate and to control other people. And it's true of all the gifts, but it's also true of the gift of prophecy. An incorrect use of prophecy can actually be hurtful instead of helpful. It can actually weaken the church instead of strengthen the church. Now, sometimes people intentionally misuse this gift, Right? On purpose. They use this gift to try to control and manipulate people. God said this. God told me this. Therefore, you have to follow me. Right? And they use that to try to manipulate and control people. Well, in Matthew 7:15, Jesus calls these people false prophets. He calls them sheep in wolf's clothing. No. Wolves in sheep clothing. Right? On the inside, they're wolves. On the outside, they look like, oh, they're following God. Oh, they're such a good Christian. But they're trying to devour people. Right? And they intentionally misuse this gift to control and manipulate. And it brings hurt to the body of Christ. But sometimes, people misuse the gift of prophecy. I think most of the time when it's misused, it's unintentional. They're not trying to hurt people. They're not trying to, you know, cause problems. They're really, their heart is, they want to serve God, and they want to obey God, and they want to help the church to grow. But in their zeal to be used by God, well, sometimes they act immaturely. Sometimes they maybe go a little too far, right? But friends, whatever the motive is, whether it's intentional or unintentional, sometimes people get hurt. Sometimes churches are actually torn apart by the misuse of prophecy, prophetic ministry. And as I mentioned last week, I think this is maybe one of the reasons why some Christians are kind of a little skeptical about prophecy. It's like, do we really want to go there? Do we really need that in the church? Friends, I can completely understand how people might feel that way. But I also know what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5. Look at what Paul says. Paul says, very simple, do not treat prophecies with contempt. Yes, some people might misuse and abuse prophetic ministry in the church, but Paul does not want us to despise this gift. This is something God has given to the church, and it's good. And the answer to the misuse of prophetic ministry is not to reject it. It's not to close our hearts to it. It's not to say, no, thank you, not for us. That's not Paul's response. Right? Rather, Paul's answer to this problem is to protect ourselves from the misuse and abuse of prophecy. We don't reject it. We just protect ourselves. How do we do that? Take a look here. 1 Corinthians 14. Paul says, two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. Now, Paul's talking here about the Corinthians. He's talking about how they gather together. As I mentioned earlier, many different people would stand up in the worship service, and they would say, you know, God's saying this, or God is saying this. Paul says, when that happens, what should we do? Should we just listen, kind of blindly follow, blindly obey, blindly the things that are said? No. Paul says we should weigh carefully what is said. Now, who weighs carefully? Is it the leaders of the church? Is it the elders of the church? No. Who weighs carefully? Well, it says the others. One person is speaking, and all the others who are there listening, they are the ones who weigh carefully. Friends, this is something that we all do. It's something that all believers do. We all have that responsibility. The whole body does it. We all have, I think, that responsibility to listen. We all have responsibility, right, to listen with discernment and weigh carefully the things that we hear. Does that make sense? John says the same thing. 1 John 4. Look what John says. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Right? Talking about, you know, the gifts come from the Holy Spirit, right? But it says, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. See, John says there are people who are speaking on behalf of God, right? God says this. But they're not really speaking from God. They're false prophets, he says. And so we need to test the things people say. We need to test those words that people say in the name of God, right, to see if they really are from God. You see, friends, so the solution to the misuse of prophecy is that we are to test. We are to weigh carefully. We are to listen with discernment to the things that we hear. And friends, I think if we do that, I think we'll be okay. There's nothing to be afraid of or worried about with prophetic ministry in the church. So, here's the question. How do we test? How do we weigh carefully the prophetic words that are spoken? And I'll share this and then we'll close. How do we do this? Well, friends, I think there are two ways. And the first way that we can test or weigh carefully prophetic words is we check the prophecy, make sure it agrees with the Word of God. You see, prophecy in the church, even prophetic teaching, it must never, ever, ever go against the written Word of God. Right? This is the foundation for everything else. Right? God has spoken. This we can trust in. Right? And so even if someone says, the Lord says this, and if what they say disagrees with this, we have to reject what they say. With grace and love, but we have to reject what they say because we know it's not from God. I think a great example of this is the Berean Christians. Do you guys know the Berean Christians? Right? We see them just for a little bit in Acts 17, but this is great. Look at what it says. It says, now the Bereans were a more noble character than the Thessalonians, poor Thessalonians, right? For they received the message with great eagerness and what? Examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. So here's the Apostle Paul. He's coming and every day he's teaching. Every day he's teaching. And after he's done teaching, they all begin to see if the things Paul's teaching are really line up with the Scripture. Isn't that great? Now we have to see that they weren't doing this because they were being critical of Paul. It's not like, what's he teaching? Is that really in here? No, because it says that they received the message with great eagerness. They were so thankful. They were so hungry. They had such open hearts to what Paul was teaching. But they wanted to make sure that what Paul said was really from the Word of God. You see, they didn't test Paul. They didn't weigh carefully Paul because they were trying to be critical. They weighed Paul carefully because they were hungry. Hungry for the authentic Word of God. And friends, I hope that you will do the same thing to me. I hope you don't just blindly believe everything I say to you every week. I hope you just don't write stuff down and just assume that it's true, right? Take the things I say and compare it to Scripture. Search the Scriptures for yourself. Do it by yourself. Do it together. I don't care, but just search the Scripture. And if you find something where I'm wrong, let me know. I don't want to be a false prophet. I don't want to do things that are going against what God has written here. You see, friends, but this is one of the ways that we test prophecy. We compare it to Scripture. We compare it to the Word of God. Does that make sense? That's one way. But there's a second way to test prophecy. Right? And that's simply to ask God to confirm the word that was spoken. Right? If someone speaks a prophetic word and we don't know, is that really from God? Is it not? And we look at Scripture and we can't really tell. We can say, God, was that really from you? God, is that really something that you want to say? You see, but we can just ask God to confirm. Right? We can ask God to show us if the word was really from Him or not. If we have a desire to hear God and to know Him and to follow Him, friends, God will, He'll make it clear. He will confirm it. If that really was the word that God wants us to hear, He'll say it again. Through the same person, through a different situation, He'll say it again. You see, friends, God's not trying to hide things from us. Right? God's not trying to keep secrets from us. It's not like He just tells something to us once, and then if we miss it, then tough luck. Right? I mean, He really wants to speak to us. Remember, prophecy is His idea. It's His idea because God wants to speak to His church. There's things on His heart He wants to communicate with us. Right? And so if we weigh a word, if we test the prophetic word because we're hungry for the authentic Word of God, if we're weighing the word not because we're, you know, closed heart, but because we have an open heart, He will make it clear. We just need to ask. I think a great example of this is the story of Gideon in Judges chapter 6. We're not going to read the story, but actually God spoke to Gideon, and He actually asked Gideon to do a pretty amazing thing. Gideon's like, you want me to do what? And so what did Gideon do? Gideon tested God. Not once, but twice. And Gideon didn't do this because he doubted God. Gideon just thinks, wait a minute, God, you're asking me to do this really big thing. I want to confirm. Is this really what you want? Is this you speaking or is this just my own voice? Right? He wanted to confirm that the word really was from God. So he asked God to confirm it, and God did. Twice. You can read it in Judges chapter 6. But friends, I think Gideon's example here is really good for us because this is why we want to weigh the prophecy. This is why we want to test the prophetic word, right? Like Gideon, we're hungry to embrace the things of God, right? We're hungry to obey the things that God speaks. If it's an authentic word from God. And that's why we want to listen with discernment. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, having said all of that, friends, maybe not all prophetic words need to be tested or weighed carefully. For example, let's say I'm praying for Noji. Okay, I'm going to pick on Noji. I'm praying for Noji. And while I'm praying for Noji, I get maybe a word of encouragement for Noji. And I think it's from God. So just as I'm praying, I'll just say, you know, Noji, I think God wants you to know this. And I'll share the encouraging word for him. Now, what if I'm wrong? Well, what if I really didn't hear from God, and maybe that was just kind of my own thought, my own voice, that was just my own encouraging word for Noji? Is there any harm in that? Not really, right? I mean, Scripture tells us to encourage one another. So even if that encouraging word was just from my heart and maybe not from God, Noji might still be encouraged, right? Right? So in that way, maybe he doesn't need to test the prophecy when it's something like that. But let's say I keep praying for Noji. And then after a while I say, Noji, I think God is saying that he wants you to quit your job, sell your house, and move to India as a missionary. If I say that, Noji is going to want to test that word, isn't he? He's going to want to make sure that's really a word from God. So Noji's going to begin to pray and ask God to confirm that word. And he's going to ask you to also pray with him to confirm that word. Because before Noji sells his house and quits his job and gets on an airplane going to India, he wants to make sure that's really from the Lord. And that's exactly what he should do. He should test that word. He should weigh that carefully. Because something like that could really mess up Noji's life if it's wrong. Right? I mean, that could really do a lot of damage to Noji. He could go to India, and if God's not with him, it's like, you know, it can be really hard. He comes back, he has no house, no job. It's just, you know, it could mess him up. And so, friends, when we hear a prophetic word specifically about a future, something God wants to do, if it's a word about direction from God, if it's word about maybe a promise, God promises to do something, if it's a prophetic word that's maybe a warning from God, friends, those are the kinds of things we want to weigh very, very carefully. When we hear those, it's not that we're doubting them. It's not that we don't lack faith. It's just that we want to make sure that's really from the Lord. Friends, and if we do this, I think that will protect us from the misuses and the abuses and the hurt that might be caused by prophetic ministry in the church. Does that kind of make sense? I hope so. I don't mean to be kind of negative here, but I have a feeling that this is a concern, a good concern that some people have. But friends, if we listen with discernment, I really believe that prophetic ministry will be a great blessing to us as a church and can really help to build us up. Okay, wow, look at the time. Well, there's clearly more I can say, but maybe that's enough for right now. Friends, as we desire to grow in prophetic ministry, I think these four things maybe provide a really good foundation for us, a good place for us to start here at SIMBC. So, as I close, let me tell you a story, and I hope you appreciate this because I only tell like one story a month, so this is your chance. Enjoy this. But it's actually the story of each week I listen to a podcast called The God Journey. It's these two guys, they just kind of talk about life as Christians, and one of the guys' name is Wayne. Wayne. And Wayne tells this story, great story. A few years ago, Wayne went to Australia. And while he was in Australia, he spent time with a group of people who were, I think, kind of in like a house church kind of setting, right? And during one of their morning gatherings, they had a time for people in the group to share with the group things that they thought God was saying to the group, right? So it was a chance for prophetic ministry, right? Do you hear anything? Is God saying anything to you, right? So this one young guy kind of raises his hand, and he shared with the group what he thought God was saying, right, to him. Well, the rest of the group then weighed carefully what this young man had said. And I don't know what they did, if they prayed about it or what, but the whole group there, they agreed this was not something the Lord was saying to the group.
Yoko's like, oh, quite so.
just wait. Because a while later, the same young man shared another word that he thought was from the Lord. And again, the rest of the group, they weighed the word, and I don't know how they determined this, but again they agreed this word was not from the Lord. Well, a third time that morning, this young man shared a word that he thought was from the Lord, and for the third time, the rest of the group agreed that was not what God was saying to the group. Well, this Wayne, he felt really, really bad for this young guy, right? So at lunchtime, he went and sat with the guy. He just thought, man, this guy, three times, he failed to hear God correctly. He must be discouraged. He must be really just disappointed, right? So they sat together at lunch, and Wayne was going to encourage this young man, but as they were eating, Wayne discovered this young guy, he wasn't discouraged at all. In fact, he was thankful. And Wayne's like, I don't understand. How can you be thankful? Three times the group told you were wrong. You know what the young man said? He said this is great. He says, how else will I learn to hear the voice of God? How else will I learn unless people are helping me to know if I'm really hearing from God? Now, friends, I tell you that story because that story illustrates all four of these things that we've talked about this morning. Right? First of all, this young man, he was in the habit of listening to Jesus, right? Through the whole meeting, he's constantly, paying attention to what God might be saying. He wants to hear God's voice. He's eager to prophesy. He's eager to build up the church body, right? So he's listening to Jesus. Right? Also, he wasn't afraid to speak out the things he thought he was hearing, right? And friends, this is amazing to me because most people, after getting it wrong once, what would most people do? Fine. Right? And they just wouldn't say it, right? Right? But he wasn't afraid to make mistakes. Not once, not twice, three times. He was willing just to speak out. He was giving expression to just those impressions. Any time he thought, is that God? Is that God? I don't know. I'll share. And he did that. But also notice that the group was listening with discernment, right? That the group was weighing carefully the words that he spoke. And imagine how hard it must have been for the group to three times tell this guy, sorry, that's not what the Lord is saying. I mean, you can just imagine the third time they're like saying, shall we just say yes? Shall we just encourage him and lie to him? Yeah, just, we don't want him to be, discouraged. Shall we just tell him, yeah, that's exactly what God's saying. But they didn't do that because they understood they needed to weigh carefully the prophetic word. And so three times they listened with discernment. Was this really from God or not? But friends, we also see point number three, right? It's very, very clear that all of this happened in an environment of grace and love and acceptance. Even though the group tested and actually rejected this young man's words three times, they did it in such a way where he didn't feel hurt, he didn't feel offended, he didn't feel criticized, he didn't feel rejected, he didn't feel judged, he didn't feel like he was a second-class Christian, he didn't feel like he should just stay silent and just shut up and let other people do the talking. No one ever made him feel like that. That group was a safe place for him to learn how to hear God's voice. He was free to make mistakes. And I don't know, but my guess is he's probably growing in this area. And friends, I think that's the challenge for us. That's the kind of church we want to be. As we desire to grow in prophetic ministry and embrace this wonderful gift God's given to us, we want to listen to Jesus. We want to not be afraid to speak. We want to create an atmosphere of love so that people don't need to be afraid. But we also want to listen with discernment and love and grace as well. And then if we can do that, I think we can establish a very firm foundation for prophetic ministry here at SIBC. And it can be the blessing.